All right, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We'll take another little bite out of this epistle tonight, try to learn what the Lord has for us. This is a bit easier to preach than some of the other messages in Galatians. And you'll probably think very practical too. I hope so. We'll entitle the message, God is Not Mocked, comes right out of the text. Let me review quickly. In chapter 5, verses 13 to 25, we discover that we have two natures. Our two natures are the flesh nature and the spirit nature. You should crucify the one daily, and you should follow the dictates of the other. You should listen to him, the Spirit of God, who sort of illuminates the path for us. He's the life of Christ within, the Spirit of God who lives within us. When we read spirit here, the spirit nature and the spirit side has a capital S, but I would think that we need to also think of our spirit nature. We have a new nature. We were born again. We have something we didn't have before. We need to listen to that nature as opposed to the flesh nature. The spirit nature cannot be separated from the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit leads us. He produces fruit in us. He illuminates the path. He illuminates the scriptures. He gives us guidance. And so it can't be separated from the Holy Spirit, but we want to keep both in mind when we see that word. We see that word spirit. In chapter 5, verse 26 to 6 and verse 6, we have to keep ourselves clean, we're told. We need to walk according to the spirit nature, according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit, so that we can help our brethren who might stumble off of the path into the shadows into some sin. They stumble into some sin. They're overtaken by it. It's not premeditated. This just sort of came upon them and they've stumbled off into sin. In addition to correcting an erring brother, those who are spiritual minded, those who live in the spirit realm, are able to help brothers and sisters with other burdens as well, not their responsibilities as Christians, but burdens that they have. We can help one another carry our burdens. And the Bible says that boasting and conceit have no place in the life of a believer who's living according to the spirit realm, to the spirit side, their spirit nature. Boasting actually disqualifies us from being help to those who stumble off the path or those who bear burdens. It disqualifies us from helping the erring brother. And so all of this we learned in chapter 5 and 6. The choice then is yours. You can walk according to the Spirit or you can walk according to the flesh. The choice is yours. Literally, it's right here. You have to decide. This is not passive. This is active. The choice is yours, and we also need to be aware of the fact that God has established a rule that has to do with this choice that we're making. And in this rule, you need to understand, it's a rule, and God will not be mocked. We'll look at verse 7. We'll go from 7 to 10 tonight. It says in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not sneered at. You will not look down your nose at the Lord and say to him, "I'll show you. This rule will not apply to me. I can do this and reap this." That'll never happen. God is not sneered at. He has established a rule about life. And you shouldn't feel like somehow that you convince yourself that you can ignore this rule and it'll just go away. That's not the case. What is the rule? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's established. Okay? That's an established rule, a law of God. It would be easy to be deceived because there's always a time lapse between planting and the harvest. The seed has to germinate. It takes a while just to get it out of the ground. And if it's in my garden, sometimes it doesn't come out of the ground. But that's not true. That's not true in the spirit realm. In this, it takes a little bit of time for the seeds to germinate and to come up. And while we wait, someone who has dropped some seeds, expecting perhaps to yield some bitter fruit, after the passage of a little time, might start to think to himself, it's going to be okay. I guess those seeds didn't germinate. But this is an agricultural law that metaphorically applies to all moral and spiritual issues of life as well. When we plant seed, there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a harvest. You will reap what you have sown. You know, we think of this passage when we think of that law, but it's repeated a number of times in the Scriptures, even back in the book of Job. Listen to this. This is Job 4:8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. You see the rule there? You reap what you sow. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So a little bit harder to see, but there it is again in the book of Proverbs. The prophet Hosea wrote in chapter 8 of his prophecy in verse 7, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. So we see it there. And then Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You reap what you sow. You see that analogy used all through the Scripture. But there's no certain time scheme in this field of life. All seeds grow at a different pace, at a different rate, but all of them grow and all of them will produce fruit. So you'll see you have not escaped God's law of the harvest. You will reap what you sow. Folks ask all the time, well, what's happening in my marriage? Or what's happening with my family? Why are my kids rebelling? Or what's happening in our finances? Or maybe what's happening with my health? Everything seems to be falling apart for them. And it just doesn't dawn on them that maybe what they're experiencing now is the result of seed sown yesteryear. For years, this is what they've been sowing. And why should they be surprised? But they are, when this is what they reap. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. As a matter of fact, people even get angry at God because of the harvest. I've heard people live for Satan. Selfish reasons, led completely by their own ambitions, by their own desires. And then something bad comes into their life and they get angry with God. Why did God let this happen to me? Well, they're proof that you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. They want to know, where is God and why is God allowing this to happen this way, as if it were God's fault? It's not God's fault. Nothing bad that happens is God's fault. God is always good. Death and sickness and war, it's all the result of sin. It's man's fault. It's man's fault. But all along, God has said, verse 8, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. The flesh is the natural man, the old sin nature. It's man apart from the influence of God. It's man doing his own thing. That's the flesh. The word sow is used metaphorically to put our time, our effort into the dictates and the appetites of the flesh, the old nature, the man without God. To sow to the flesh is to do what the flesh wants, to give the flesh its way, and it will reap corruption. It will reap corruption. Corruption is that which is subject to decay. Like our bodies, if you bury a body, it will decay. It will rot in the ground. Sorry for the expression there. Doing that which is sinful and is in keeping with our sinful desires will cause our lives to decay. Our life, our living to decay and rot. It will bring destruction to us. He's already named here for us the works of the flesh in chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And here they are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The unsaved sneer at God continually as if they believe that there'll be no consequences to their sowing their wild oats. They're sowing to the flesh. But the Bible tells them they're going to reap corruption. You know the name John Lennon of the Beatles. Some years before he died, during an interview with American Magazine, he said, "Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I'm certain. Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today," he said, "we are more popular than Jesus." 1966. Lennon was shot 5 times in the back outside of his New York City apartment not long after that. Tancredo Neves is a Brazilian. During the Brazilian presidential campaign, he said if he got 500,000 votes from his party, not even God could remove him from the presidency. He got the votes. He won the presidency, but he got several internal infections just days before the inauguration, before he was sworn into the presidency, and he died. You reap what you sow. You don't mock at God. The man who built the Titanic, after the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him, "How safe is this ship, the Titanic? How safe, the Titanic? How safe will it be?" He boasted, "Not even God could sink it." And it sunk on its maiden voyage. Marilyn Monroe, you remember Marilyn? Near the end of her life, she was visited by Billy Graham, who shared a clear presentation of the gospel with her. After hearing that, all that the preacher had to say, she said, "I don't need your Jesus." A week later, she was found dead in her apartment. Bon Scott was a vocalist for the AC/DC band. On one of his 1979 albums, he sang a song called "Highway to Hell." He said, I'm going down all the way. Whoa, I'm on the highway to hell." Almost as if he were proud. On the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead. He had choked on his own vomit. There are lots of other examples of this. People reap what they sow. A pastor by the name of David Curtis gives some other examples. He says, all Pete Rose wants is to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, but Pete is reaping what he has sown. As a Major League All-Star, he decided to start betting on the games. He ended up suffering the consequences of his choice for years. You reap what you sow. All Martha Stewart wanted was to avoid losing any money in the stock market, even if it meant breaking the law. But Martha lost more than money can buy. You reap what you sow. Over 50 years ago, they found the body of Jim Morrison in a bathtub in Paris, France. Jim and his band, called The Doors, who played to sold-out audiences all over the world, on July the 3rd, 1971, the light went out on the one who sung the song, "Come on, baby, light my fire." Jim had overdosed on heroin, and he was only 27 years old. You see, you reap what you sow. Closer to home, she's bored with her marriage. There's a man at work who's tender and caring. Her husband doesn't understand her anymore, but he does. Can you smell the decomposition taking place? Pastor Curtis writes, he was just a sophomore in college trying to make ends meet when a friend told him how much money he was making selling pills to some of his friends. Quick money, illegal drugs. Can you smell it? He was spending more money than he was making. His bills were not getting paid. His creditors were constantly calling. His credit score was getting worse and worse. Can you smell it? Curtis asked. It's the smell of destruction. It's the smell of the rot, the life rotting away. If you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. You reap corruption. Sowing to the flesh is investing in that which is physical, that which is mortal, that which is temporal, earthy. And thus passing rather than it's sowing to that which is passing rather than the eternal. It is the proverbial going around only once and gusto grabbing, if you remember the beer commercial from yesteryear. Sowing to the flesh. For he that soweth to his flesh, the Bible says, shall of the flesh reap corruption. The flesh will lead a person, sowing to the flesh, will lead a lost person into a Christless eternity. But Christians can sow to the flesh too. The Bible makes that pretty clear. For believers, it can destroy the hope of enjoying the abundant life that Christ came to provide for us. It can cause us to forfeit the crowns, the rewards that we will receive in heaven if we do something with the right heart attitude and right motivation. Sowing to the flesh, it's a dead-end street. Do you sow to the flesh? Do you satisfy the flesh? Do you look at things? Do you listen to things? Do you read things? Do you think thoughts that are fleshy? Those are seeds sown to the flesh. God will not be mocked in this. The law is this. There'll be a harvest of those things in your life. Destruction and corruption. The rotting away of the life that you're trying to live. The verse also says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We've been talking about the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, this I say, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That spirit nature. Live in that realm inside of your heart and head. Galatians 5:18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Richard Linsky says that this has to do with our new nature rather than the Holy Spirit, even though it's a capital S here in our English Bible. And I would remind us, you can't divorce the Holy Spirit from the spirit nature within us. They're inseparable. And one cannot be divorced from the other. So sowing to the Spirit is investing in that which is spiritual, that which is eternal, rather than into the physical, the fleshy things. Those who sow to the Spirit, it says, shall reap life everlasting. Does that sound like work salvation? You work, you sow to the Spirit, and you'll reap life everlasting. Well, eternal life is to be experienced in two realms. This is not works salvation. We experience eternal life when we die and we go to heaven or win the presence of the Lord, and that'll be a different kind of life in a glorified body. But we don't have to wait till then to have eternal life. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you have life. To know God is life. So, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, the Lord said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's eternal life. That's for the here and the now. So here's where this first fruit of our harvest will appear if we sow to the Spirit. We'll get to reap that in this life. That'll produce good things in the life that we're living right now, as well as afford crowns and rewards in heaven. That which is produced by living in the spirit realm, being controlled by the Spirit, has already been stated in chapter 5, in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Would you like peace? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Pastor Curtis gives this illustration. He said, picture two large fields out in the country. One is labeled flesh, the other is labeled spirit. Every day we have hundreds of opportunities to sow in one field or the other. In fact, everything that we do is either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. There's no third alternative. Every word we speak, every step we take, every chance conversation, even the tiniest decision leads us in one direction or the other. This includes what we read, how we dress, who we talk to, what we watch on television, what we listen to on the radio, and where we surf on the internet. It touches our habits, our leisure time, our secret dreams, the friends we hang out with, the video games we play, the places we lunch, the place we go on vacation, the way we treat our coworkers, the way we respond when we're mistreated, our prayer life, our time in the Word, our giving to the Lord's work, our willingness to help others, the way we discipline our children, the way we respond to correction, and our willingness to share Christ with the lost. And that's just a very short list, he says. Life is a series of choices every day. And every choice is sowing a seed in the flesh field or in the spirit field. Where are we sowing our seeds? There's going to be a harvest. What are you sowing to, the flesh or to the spirit? Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We don't want to be weary in well-doing. I'm glad the period's not after we don't want to be weary, because I'm weary a lot. It didn't say don't get tired, don't get physically and emotionally tired. It's been called burnout. Did you ever hear anybody say they got burned out? I don't believe in burnout. If we do the work of the ministry and the power that the Lord gives us, we're not going to burn out. He's going to give us the strength, not just physical strength, but inner strength, to stand the test of time and work through the problems that come in ministering to others and planting good seeds. But this verse is not saying we won't get tired. It's saying don't get tired of sowing good seeds. Brothers and sisters, don't get tired of doing right. That's what this means. And why? Because in due time there'll be harvest. Just keep planting those good seeds. We'll keep going to the nursing home. We'll keep reaching out to those that we have opportunity to share the gospel with. We'll keep handing out those tracts and doing those Bible studies and changing the letters on the signs. And all of the things that we're privileged to do, we'll keep our tract racks filled. And we keep planting seeds. The rule of the harvest is there'll be fruit as a result of that. Maybe we won't see it in this lifetime. Maybe we will. But there's going to be fruit when we plant seeds. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. In due season we shall reap. In an age of instant everything, that doesn't sound too good, does it? I don't want to wait. I wish they'd come up with a faster microwave, don't you? We want instant everything. My computer might pause for 10 milliseconds. And I think, well, that took a little long. Milliseconds. But our brain picks up on that. Just fraction of a second. It took a little longer to load that page than it normally does. Maybe I need to reboot my computer, we might say. We're used to having what we want when we want it. An instant everything age. But the promise of the harvest is sufficient motivation to just keep on sowing the seeds and keep on waiting. There's going to be a harvest. Keep sowing to the Spirit. As in the physical harvest, there is a time of waiting for the seeds to germinate and bring forth their fruit. It's hard to be nice to people who are not nice back. But don't get weary. Don't get weary in well-doing, because there will be a harvest if you just keep on, if you don't quit. Don't quit sowing the seeds. It's hard to keep reading your Bible when you just don't understand it. But reading your Bible is sowing in that field called the Spirit. And it'll reap a harvest. You may pick up very little the first times through a passage, but you just keep on reading. And one thing will stick at some point, and then you'll add to that a little something else, and the learning curve just becomes a plane. And you can start to understand the Scriptures if you just won't quit. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right things. And the fruitful harvest will come. He says, if we faint not. If we quit, the good seeds become few in the ground and they get choked out by the weeds. There are plenty of them there. Plenty of sowing to the flesh. The Chicago Bears fans know that the greatest running back of NFL history was for a long time Walter Payton. I'm not a big football fan. Walter died in 1999 of cancer of the liver. He was 5'10", height, 202 pounds. He set the all-time rushing record at his league, 16,726 yards. It's been broken since then by Emmett Smith. During his 12-year career, Payton carried the football 9 miles. 9 miles. If you divide the number By the number of times he ran with the ball, you discover an amazing statistic. He was knocked to the ground on an average of every 4.4 yards by somebody bigger than himself. He set the record because every time somebody knocked him down, he got back up. He kept getting up and getting up and getting up. That's one of the overlooked secrets of greatness. You don't quit. So you failed today. You get up and you just keep going. When you're knocked down by discouragement, you don't stay down. You get up and you get back in the game for the glory of God. Great victories await those with great endurance. The Bible encourages us to be people of endurance. The Lord will help us. We just have to have a mind to go that direction and keep on sowing those seeds to the spirit realm, to the eternal realm. And not to get tired of doing right and just give up. Our good fruit will be choked if we do. Our good fruit will be choked out by all the thorns. The last verse, verse 10, says, "As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." The word opportunity sort of sounds like, you know, a moment of opportunity, but that's not what this means. It's a fixed period of time. It's all of life. As you have now this opportunity to serve the Lord, sow some good seeds. Sow some good seeds. John Wesley said, "Do all the good you can do, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can," he says. Do all the good you can. Brothers and sisters, the natural man can only sow to the flesh, and ultimately he reaps destruction. Look around you. Read some biographies of people who lived for themselves. It's no good. They reaped the very thing that they had sown. Christians can sow to the flesh, but they can also choose rather to sow to the Spirit and reap the abundant life that's offered to them, to us, by Christ. This law, you reap what you sow, is all-inclusive. It applies to any and everything we sow. You're going to reap what you sow. We cannot sow evil and produce good. We cannot sow discord and produce unity. You cannot sow lies and produce truth. You cannot sow sin and produce holiness. You sow to the flesh, you'll get corruption. There were some flesh sowers in Jesus' day. He called them, "Old generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things." So, don't think that the law that the Lord has established pertaining to our sowing seeds will not apply to you. Seriously, brothers and sisters, what kind of seeds are you sowing? How are you using your time, your talents, your tithes? How are you using what God has given you? Where are you investing for the future? Let's sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. Enhance the abundant life that Christ came to provide for us. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share this brief thought tonight. I pray your blessing upon it. Help us to know that we reap what we sow tonight. Lord, help us each to examine ourselves, to ask ourselves the right questions. And Lord, by your Spirit, reveal to us what we need to do. Maybe some changes need to be made. Maybe there's somebody here right now, Lord, with just this little simple message. They realize they're wasting their time. They're sowing to the flesh. It's all about me. Lord, help us to realize it's not about us. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the life that we can live before Him. Help us, Lord, to sow to the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.